recording in progress. Fabulous. I will just mute myself if you're talking and she's making noise.
Oh, yes. Well, so first up, let's begin with a hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for being patient with us. We are finding our way through lots of changes in our lives. So we're not very regular with anything, but, you know, we try. So we're recording another episode today.
We are, and the only regular thing is that this podcast is called Foul Play.
Yes.
And I'm Laura and you're Jackie.
Yeah.
yeah, and that's the same, but the other things that are different are that you might now hear in the background I have Olive, who Ooh. Is a human who is 7 weeks old.
Yeah.
And she's the latest addition to my small farm. And you have chickens.
I know. The duck enthusiast has gone over to the cluck side, the dark side.
Oh, yeah. I'm literally going to make that pun, and I'm very glad that you did.
Really? I just made it up. Oh, great minds. That's so good.
So good.
And I can understand now why people love chickens so much, because they are the I'm not going to say they're the best, because ducks are really good too, but I'm really enjoying the variety in the yard with our waterfowl and the hens too. It's just, oh, it's so energizing stepping out into the yard and seeing all the activity and the different personalities at play. I love it.
That's so good. So what brought you over to the cluck side? What changed?
I think if you've been following along our story, you'd know that I used to keep three or so ducks in the side yard of my property, which is like a walled-in garden with a veggie patch in the middle, as our flock expanded. And at some point we had like 25 ducks. I kind of lost count. We moved them into the bigger back area to do some weed control out there. And that back area backs onto the bushland, like it's a really big space, and they love it out there. But that meant that the side yard was sort of not getting that weed control happening, which I missed. And actually having the ducks out there made it quite muddy, as you can imagine, with all their antics in the ponds, and their poos are just a whole other beast compared to chicken poos. So it was just a bit of a mud pit for a while there. So I wasn't keen to add ducks back into that yard unless we absolutely had to, which made me think, well, at first I was like, actually, let's get bunnies. That sounds great. But after talking to you, Laura, I worked out that maybe that wasn't the best option for weed control. And I don't
know
why that was.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say bunnies are, like, rabbits are fabulous. Like, they're really great little pets, and I think they are a good contribution to the garden. But they're pretty indiscriminate with what they eat. Well, actually, no, they're not indiscriminate. They kind of like similar things to us. So they won't necessarily eat what you want them to eat. They might eat things you don't want them to eat. And you do, like, they don't actually get through that much. Like, if you were doing the tractor method where you move their little hutch around, they would sort of mow down that part. But, like, you can't just sort of, if you just leave them out in the backyard, they won't control the weeds. And they don't, not like ducks and chickens, they don't disturb the soil. So they would always just eat it, like, down to the ground. But then weeds generally grow back from their roots. So it doesn't really work.
Yeah, so that's right. I do remember that conversation now. And that's why we decided against rabbit. I thought of rabbits because we took a trip to our local zoo, and they had like a, you know, pet for animals section, and my son Felix just fell in love with all the bunnies, the rabbits, and I was like, oh, maybe we'll get a few for him. But anyway, they're not going to do what we want them to. We might get a rabbit another day, but not for the purpose of weeding, which, you know, after having that discussion with you, Laura, I was sort of weighing up rabbits versus chickens, because I knew that chickens would scratch up the roots of things, like and that's what we need to happen out there. And not that chickens are particularly you know, they eat the things that we don't really want them to eat too, but they really, I've noticed already that they're eating a lot of the grasses and things that are popping up in garden beds, and that they're digging those roots up, like looking for worms and things. So it's having an impact already, which a really positive impact, which surprised me, given that the birds that we have are actually quite young. So I'm really excited for them to take their full forms and clean that place up out there. Yeah, I think
That's awesome.
yeah, I'm just wondering actually whether we have room for any more, but we'll worry about that
Of
another
course you
time.
are. Chicken math.
Yeah.
It's always more chicken.
I
But
know.
yeah,
Oh,
chickens
I'm
and
going.
rabbits are very different garden companions.
Yeah.
Like, because a rabbit again would be, they're good even if you just had one as a pet, or two. Like, you can give them scraps and then they create pretty fantastic manure for you, because you can use them
True.
straight on the plants, because
Yeah.
it's like a cold one. But yeah, they're totally different to chickens.
Yeah. Well,
Much, much.
cross
Oh,
that
they're not
bridge.
really fluffier, are they? They're furrier.
The furrier, yeah. Well, I'm surprised at actually just how cuddly the chickens are. I had no idea. Like my
Oh.
ducks, they're hilarious and I love their personalities, but they will not let me really close to them. And that's kind of just the way that we've raised them as well. Like I haven't had so for those people who are just tuning in for maybe the first time or haven't heard me mention before, I have two little boys, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So I don't have a great amount of time to dedicate to building up bonds with those ducks. They kind of
Yeah.
exist and I feed them and I love them, but they do their thing and I don't cuddle them. But the chickens kind of just came, or two of them in particular came inbuilt with this sort of, I don't know, this affection gene or something. Like they just want to be close to me and they want me to pick them up and pat them and it's wonderful. It's
That's
very.
lovely. So if you, I mean, that is like really nice, and maybe your chickens are just lovely.
Yeah.
What some people say, and I don't know if it's true, but is that if you don't have a rooster, they
Yeah.
see you as the rooster,
Ah.
and so like they kind of go to you for like leadership and protection. But then also sometimes they do this funny thing where they're easy to pick up, and you're like, oh wow, why is my chicken easy to pick up? She's just like squatting down and like staying still for me, and it is because they are waiting for you to mate with them.
I see.
Yes,
Could be.
which, you know, great times, great times.
Just a
But
risk.
also, if they're not squatting down, like maybe they're just seeing you as a leader rather than
A
a
potential mate.
sexual friend. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're not squatting down. I think they're still too young for that. So we'll see how
Yeah.
they go as they get bigger. But at the moment, they're just very cute.
My chickens are not cuddly. Like our chickens definitely like trust us, and they're very like they have no fear whatsoever of us. Like you walk in and they're like under our feet, and it's really funny because if you're ever trying to dig, they like put their head right where you're about to put the shovel, because they're like, oh, worms are coming. And I'm like, this shovel could chop your head off very easily. Like, just don't do that. But they don't like being patted.
No. Okay. Well,
So, yeah.
that's, I mean, they might change as they get bigger at Chooks. We'll
What
see.
breed? What breed are your chickens?
So we have 4 chickens. I'll just run through their breeds and their names and a little description of each of them. So we got the first two from a lovely breeder who I'd love to spruik, but so she's in Kangaroo Valley and she sells on Gumtree. So if you look up on Gumtree, Kangaroo Valley chickens, definitely buy from Charlie. They're really great breeder. She seems to know what she's doing. They're like the whole setting was really healthy and happy and always good. So we got from her Giselle, who's a white Arowana mix. So she'll be an olive egger. And we got Polly, who was kind of like a, she wasn't really sure what she would be. She's just a mix. But she's getting some puffs on the side of her cheeks and on the top of her head. So I'm thinking maybe she's got a bit of Arowana in her as well. And she's like that grey, I guess, do they call that birchin? Is that the flecked sort of orange and grey and brown? I'm still getting up with all the different
I
names.
don't know. I haven't heard. I am not up with chicken. I'll look it up in my chicken book, and hopefully I'll have some information.
So she's just a, I'll have a look too, birch, and so she's like a mixed bird, but she's a bit skittish actually, where Giselle is like, if I squat down and do stuff in the garden, Giselle will run up and stand on my knee while I do things, which is very funny. He's got our corner. I don't know.
It's
Anyway,
like
and it's,
Aracuna, I think.
yeah, I always spell it wrong. Anyway, it's fine.
I'm sure I pronounce it wrong. I always say Aracuna, and I think that sounds like a beach that Americans holiday at.
Yes.
I don't actually think that's right. But when you said olive egger, this is very interesting because I have chipmunk is half Aracuna. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
She lays olive colored eggs,
Yeah.
and but she's a mix. So is it that they lay all, cause do they normally lay olive colored eggs or blue colored eggs? Because
So
I
I
was wondering if it was because she was a mix, it was like half
half
like
half.
blue, half, yeah.
Yeah, so what I have discovered is that it's because they're a mix. So Araucanas, however you want to pronounce it, they lay blue eggs. And when the chick is from Araucana mixed with like a darker colored layer, I guess like maybe even I'm just thinking of, because me and you are both visual artists too, we understand about mixing colors, but even just a standard pink egg mixed with blue, like pink and blue would make a sort of tinge of olive, sort of greeny sort of color. But in particular, I think mixing them with something like a marron would make a green, like a darker green. It's basically just
Oh, because
colors together. Yeah.
yeah, ours chipmunk lays like a light color because I think she's actually mixed with her and eyes are brown, and it's funny because I didn't know that, but that was what I guessed. Like when we saw the eggs, I was like, oh, it looks exactly like you mixed a blue egg with a regular color egg,
Yeah.
and they're really beautiful, but they also vary. Some days they're darker, some days they're lighter.
Yeah.
And she just came off the brood, and they're really, really light, like a light pastel color. They're very beautiful at the moment, actually.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I've been reading a little bit about the different sorts of ways that eggs are colored, and I don't know very much at all apart from just like three comments I read on a Facebook post in a poultry group that I'm in. So these comments sort of mentioned that there's certain, like a, I think they called it a bloom. It's like a collection of different bacteria which coat the egg, and that's what gives it its color. So, Marin chickens, which we actually have, we have a Marin as well, and her name is, oh, give me a second. What is it? My son named her Rose. So Marin chickens, but in particular the copper, black copper Marins, like really, really dark brown eggs, and it's because they have a higher concentration of this bloom, and as they age, then there's like less of it, so their eggs become paler and paler. I could have got that all wrong, but that's what I learned from the three comments on this Facebook post. So I think that like it's just like us, like maybe they have different gut bacteria or something that influences certain things, and one of the things that it influences is the coloring on the outside of the egg. Because I've seen even you can wipe off the color of some eggs. If you wipe chipmunks' eggs, there's Did anything happen? Like if you wipe it with a wet cloth or something, does the color
That
change?
is a great question. I've never wiped them, even though lately they've been covered in poo because we've had some people nesting in the lay boxes. But I was always told that never to wash or wipe eggs because actually it takes off the coating that prevents the eggs from going bad, as we've discussed on a previous episode. And so I haven't, but that would be really, really, really interesting. It would also make sense that it's like if it is bacteria on it and it's like a healthy gut bacteria, like with us, that's what's keeping the bad bacteria away, which is why you shouldn't wipe it.
I mean, we don't really know what we're talking about, but I like
No,
that.
this is not advice, this is deliberation.
Yeah, this is just discovery
Sorry.
through conversation, or maybe
Yeah.
ideation through conversation.
Yeah. Regardless, don't wash your eggs. Like that's real. But
Don't wash your eggs,
the
absolutely.
reasoning is possibly to do with that. Who knows?
Well, yeah, those comments that are pretty convincing, so I reckon that could be it. So yes, back to the chickens. Actually,
Yeah,
that
so tell us
reminds
about how you got them.
me. Yeah, so I actually went seeking out rainbow layers because my younger son Otto has an egg allergy. Now that, well, we're not really, and because so I'm breastfeeding him, and he actually reacts to food through me. So if I eat something and then he drinks breast milk from me, then he has a reaction, and it's a whole thing. And I would not have believed that before having children. So if you're thinking that's not real, I used to think that too. Anyway, it's a
I
thing.
love that this is quickly becoming like a how to integrate your chickens and your babies podcast, because it's, it's niche, but lots of people have
Chickens
babies
and
and
babies.
backyard poultry, so maybe it's not that niche.
We'll try and limit the baby talk, but it's just part of it. It's all connected. And this is a really good example of how it is. So I knew
Totally.
I wouldn't be able to eat the eggs really. And we'll be doing semi-extended breastfeeding with Otto because he has a whole bunch of other issues with his solids and stuff as well. So I'm like, well, not anytime soon am I going to eat eggs. And likely it's looking like he's not going to grow out of that egg allergy anytime soon. So we'll just get like funny chickens that lay entertaining egg colors, and at least that will be a bit of novelty, and we can give them away to friends and family as gifts, just, or as they lay
Yeah.
them, just pass them out. It'll be fun. We kind of make
Also,
it.
other people in your family can eat eggs, right?
Yeah, but I'm the cook, and if I can't eat something, I
Yeah.
don't want to make it.
No, fair. That's very fair.
So we do eat, like, I cook stuff on occasion with eggs, but yeah, for the most part, there's not really a place for them. So I decided, right, we'll get like weird colored egg laying chickens because that will be fun for me to open the nest box every day and see what's in there. So I was like, right, blue eggs we need. Well, actually, at first I just emailed this ad in Kangaroo Valley because I think I typed in rainbow eggs on Gumtree, set up a time to go and pick up the chickens, and she was like, I've got an olive egger and a mixed one. So the olive egger will lay olive colored eggs, and the other mixed bird will just have to wait and see. Like, I'm not sure. So I got those two, and then I was like, right, so I've got a green egg and potentially just a pink egg chicken. Now, and that's while I was at Charlie's house, she showed me the eggs that all of her other chickens laid. And she, that was beautiful, like opening her nest box. It was so inspiring as an artist too. I was like, look at these colors. It's just, oh, I haven't seen eggs like that before. I was really taken aback. I was like, I want eggs that look like that. So then I set
Oh,
out.
like it's a yeah, it's a massive thing. Like, because we just had the Sussexes before, but one, a couple of them were a little bit mixed, and so their eggs were slightly different. But now having two mixed breeds in there, it just makes our egg cartons look amazing,
It's
and
so
it
festive
definitely
looking.
brings a lot of joy. Yeah, I think, and also like it's one of the joys of backyard chickens, because obviously if you buy eggs from the store, even if it's the markets, they're pretty uniform. And so giving them as gifts, and people can open it up, and it's like, it doesn't matter if you don't have kids, like kids love it, but every adult we've given it, we gave some to our like 70-year-old neighbor, and he was like, oh, this is so lovely.
Yeah, it's like a feast for the eyes. So that's, yeah, exactly that reason. I was like, right, because I was just going to wait for some more olive eggers to come up at Charlie's place, but I saw all of the eggs that her Marin chicken had laid, like the really rich dark brown, and the blues that her Arowanas laid. I was like, no, sorry, Charlie. In my mind, I don't think I'm coming back here because I'm going to find chickens that lay eggs like that. So then I set out to find, yeah, a Marin and an Arowana, and I found another breeder on the south coast here, and I went down there, and it was not as nice an experience as visiting Charlie's place, but we got a Marin and an Arowana. I think we picked them up about a week after getting the first two, and they were all about between 6 and 8 weeks old, so quite young, old enough to be off needing a heat lamp, but still really little. And we've had them for I guess three weeks or so now. So I've got my rainbow eggs ready. Well, in a few months I'll have my rainbow eggs in the chicken coop. And yeah, oh, did I? Sorry, I'm all over the place this afternoon. Sorry, everyone.
No.
The two chooks that I got from down the coast, my son named them, and the black copper Marin he named Rose. And then the Arowana is this scrawny little thing. Like, when we picked her up, she had hardly any feathers on her because she'd been pecked so much by all the older chickens in her run, poor little thing. She's a lavender Arowana, which is, I guess it's like it looks grey, but they call it lavender. And she's definitely the very bottom of the pecking order. And I feel like, so the lady who sold her to me said that she was 8 weeks old, but I don't think that she was. I think she was probably closer to 6 because she's so small. especially compared to Giselle, who's the Arowana mix, like at least half the size of Giselle. So that little scrawny one, my son wanted to call that one Gerald, but actually because, and this, some of our listeners might know this, but sexing Arowanas is really difficult to do before they're like almost fully grown. So there is quite well, there's a 50-50 chance that that little one is a rooster. So I rejected the name Gerald and we went with Geraldine instead, just as like a vote of hope that she will in fact be a little girl.
Yeah, right. And I think when
Oh, sorry. Are you in the same position? Hey, are you there? Hey,
Hey,
sorry.
yeah, sorry, I dropped out, but I'm here.
Yeah, so I don't know if you moved spots. Did you walk somewhere else or?
I did. I had this is I'm trying to get Olive to go to sleep.
Oh, that's
So
okay. Do you want to take a break in
I
about
just
10 minutes or
no, I just need to
walk? Yeah.
hopefully she goes to sleep because she needs to. But yes, Pony, what are you eating? Come here, Pony. So we spoke about this off the pod, I think, and but I really want to know the outcome. I don't know yet. Did you do anything special to integrate the other two that you bought, not from Charlie, to make sure that you ended up with like one flock and not sort of two separate flocks, which I know can happen if you integrate chickens at different times?
Yeah, so the advice that I got, I asked Charlie actually. She's been really helpful for, as well as you, for a chicken novice like me. I just said, what do I do with integrating like these birds all together? And she said at the age that they're at, there shouldn't be too many problems and not to overthink it. So what I did was to put, and I did this with the first two as well, like when I move them out into the yard, I basically just put them straight into the what do you call it? So the coop is like the enclosed run, but then the little house itself, what do you call that? I've been calling that the coop, but it's
No,
not.
that's the coop for
Okay.
sure. The
Yeah,
coop
that's
is like the house where they sleep, and
yes.
then the rest is the run.
Okay. So I put them straight into the coop and sort of shut the door and left them in there for 20 minutes, the first two, and then opened it. So they sort of knew that that was their base camp. And when I got the other two, I did the same thing. I released them sort of so that they walked out of the coop. And then the first two sort of saw them coming out of that house. That, I guess, I don't know. In my head, I was like, well, then they'll think that they're part of the same family because they all live in the same house. And we didn't really have any issues.
That's clever.
They all put
Probably
themselves.
their age is key. I think that Charlie said that and she sounds like a chicken guru. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, because they're all quite young. You can see it even in their behavior and stuff like that. They don't know what they're doing. They're little.
Yeah, our chicken pecking
Adults are
order
good.
is loosely based on age.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Okay.
Yeah, like Anna is the oldest and she's undeniably the boss. She's a whole year older than and Gladys and Dan are roughly the same in
Yeah.
the order and they're from the same I was gonna say litter, I don't same clutch of eggs. And yeah, and then Peep is next, and then Rhodey and Chipmunk are the same age as well, and they're sort of I think Chipmunk's the bottom. Yeah. Poor Chipmunk.
Oh, poor chipmunk. That sucks.
It's funny, is it? I don't know if this is a thing, but it's always been that the bottom is always my favorite chicken. And I don't know why. Like I don't think it's that deliberately I'm choosing the underdog, but maybe it is. But like they're always the cutest one is the bottom.
I'm not like that at all. I like Giselle the best because she's the cuddliest and she's definitely the top. So,
Well, I
where
like Anna second best actually, and she's the top. So
because Geraldine is like the most skittish bird that we have. She just bolts and will not come out of the coop if I'm standing anywhere near it in the morning. So, but she runs away from everybody, including the other chickens. So.
yeah, right. Yeah, I like, yeah, there is something about a chicken that like likes you that's appealing because yes, Anna is very confident and I like that about her.
Yeah.
I think that it's the one that's second from the bottom is often the most aggressive because they're trying to protect their position.
Okay.
And that was always Dan for us.
Yeah.
And I really didn't like Dan. But now that Dan is not second from the bottom, she's not as aggressive anymore. So,
Okay.
yeah, now Peep is more aggressive because
Oh.
she was the bottom and she's protecting it from the other two. So, like, now she's not my favorite. I guess I like the friendliest chicken.
Yeah.
And the bottom is often friendly because they've got no one to be mean to.
That's funny, and it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, yeah. I wonder, are you thinking of adding, do you have room to add any more chickens to your, you don't, do you?
No, six is pretty perfect for us, I think, for the space of the run. And it's pretty crazy. Like, this is what I imagined chicken life to be like before I had chickens. We have so many eggs, we're actually able to give them away. And, like, had Olive 7 weeks ago, and I have the ravenous appetite that comes with breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And so I am eating so many eggs, and like Johnny's eating a lot of eggs, and we're giving cartons of eggs away, and it's so lovely. For the first time, we've been still had to buy eggs because so many chickens are broody. But I don't know if this is real or not, but I feel like our two new chickens have been a good influence on our other chickens. And I don't think that really makes any sense, but like they just weren't laying very much at all. And since we got the two young ones, everybody's laying almost every day. So we still like still not everyone's laying every day, but we're sort of getting like at least four, sometimes five
Yeah,
a
right.
day.
Okay.
Which is like half a carton, like it's 3 days to fill a carton.
Yeah, that's not long.
So if we sort of don't eat eggs one day, we're like, oh, we have extra eggs. So that's really great. And I don't know if it's any realism to the idea that they're leading by example, but because Rhodey is an Isa Brown, she's an Isa cross with something, we don't know what, probably Sussex. And she lays reliably every single day, and she lays one of those big, nice supermarket looking eggs. And yeah, she started laying in like July.
Oh,
It
wow.
was still really cold, and then everybody was like, oh, this seems like the thing to do, and they all started laying. So
Awesome.
the only problem we've had, it's not a problem, but chipmunk, our Kuna cross, I forgot that word. She has already gone broody, and she's like 6 months old. She's
Silly.
barely, it's much. I don't know, but the same thing happened with Peep. I don't know if you remember, but I was like, you're too young to want children. What are you doing? Like, you're a baby yourself. She went broody, but thankfully she broke very easily. So we just popped her in chicken jail, and yeah, she went back to the lay really quickly, which
Okay.
is really good. I think that won't affect you too much.
Okay.
If I think that so that breed's known for its broodiness.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But hopefully that won't affect you too much because you're not after them for their egg production.
Yeah, I guess so. What happens like when they go broody? Do they stop eating? Like some ducks when they go broody will just sit on their nest and not really like it looks quite tiring for them. I know they're just sitting there all day, but they sort of pop off the nest once or twice and go crazy, going for a swim and eating and yelling at everybody, and then they go back to their nest again. Is that basically what the broody chickens do, or what?
Yeah, no, actually, it's very similar, and in fact, it will be a problem because if they go broody and they aren't hatching out any eggs, depending on how dedicated they are, they can make themselves sick by staying there too long and not eating and drinking.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So you'll have to break them,
Yeah, I
which
don't
is,
want to.
not fun, but
Oh well, we'll get that.
doable.
Worry about that later. For now, I'll just enjoy my teenage and yeah, try not to think of
Absolutely.
break them. Yeah. Oh, and in duck news, we have some more ducklings that hatched out about a week ago. So that's very exciting. So one of our runner ducks hatched out three cool duck eggs, which I snuck into her nest from elsewhere, just from in the yard. So it was great that that they hatched out. But in sadly, we had three hatch out, and now we've only got one left as of this morning. We had one disappear 2 days ago, and I was pretty convinced that a kookaburra took it, which is really a bit awful. But then this morning, I actually found the duckling's little body in the nest. So I think that she or he had been squashed, perhaps, which had happened here before. And it's a bit weird because there's plenty of room for them in there. So I'm not sure. Maybe that duckling would have died anyway, or who knows? Which, yeah, that's not good. And then this morning we noticed a kookaburra actually sitting up on the fence looking at the ducklings, and I ran outside and scared it away, and then went back in to get the drill so that I could assemble a little enclosure, like a roofed enclosure for mummy duck and the baby ducks. But then as I walked back outside, it had come back and swooped down in front of me and scooped up one of the baby ducklings and took it away. So that was pretty awful. But now we've got
Oh, that's
one.
horrible.
Yeah, we've got one left, but it's safely in the enclosure that I built. We sort of were trialing not using enclosures because it is a lot of work because the ducks grow so quickly, but they have to upgrade the, it's like constantly renovating their little enclosure. And it's also not nice for the mummy duck to be stuck in the enclosure for as long as they need to be. But yeah, the experiment didn't work. So we have to go back to keeping them covered and safe anyway.
Damn, that's not good at all. But it sounds like, I mean, you have a pretty unlimited supply of ducklings if you want more.
Yeah, I know. And that, as awful as that kind of sounds, it is the case. Like, if we want more, we've already got Meadow sitting on another clutch of eggs. So I think she's sitting on about 8 or 9. So we'll see how that goes. And they should hatch out probably within the next 2 weeks. That's, yeah, it's not the end of the world. It's still very sad, but nature's going to do its thing, I guess, is
Yeah,
the.
no, absolutely. Like, it is really sad, and it's always that balance, right? If you're giving them the nice life of lots of access to the outdoors, and freedom, but then that comes with pretty serious risks if you're a little duckling.
I know, yeah, it's really hard. Like, it's hard. Obviously, I feel guilty about like not looking after them properly, but like you said, I like that they have that freedom to roam around the yard and dig here and scratch there and eat all sorts of different plants and things. So it's, I feel almost a bit cruel sometimes keeping them locked in the little run. But
Yeah.
at the end of the day, like that's what keeps them alive. That's, especially with this particular kookaburra seems to be quite interested in gobbling up ducklings.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard as well if kookaburra, like, they're quite smart. So if they know
Oh
that the
yeah.
ducklings are there, then yeah,
Yeah.
that's not going to be safe for a while.
They're so territorial as well. Like they it's that we have the same 5 or 6 kookaburras that live around our place. They're here, like they've been here for years. So yeah, they know where to come for a snack now. So we've got to do something about it.
I was going to say I need to wrap up, but I don't want to wrap up on the note of, murderous kookaburras. So,
Let's talk
is
about
there
them.
anything,
Yeah.
well, is there anything like fun or nice that's
Oh,
happening in your garden?
you know what? I planted some red snake beans, which are growing really well, and I'm excited to see how they turn out. But also, if the regular listeners remember last year, I was experimenting with growing luffa seeds, and they did really, really well. So this year, I think you told me that Johnny shook out like your coriander that had gone to seed into a garden bed, and now you've got coriander going everywhere. Well,
Yep.
So I nursed the seedlings, the luffa seedlings last year, like really carefully. Like I started them inside and kept them on the windowsill for a few weeks, and then moved them outside, and it was a whole thing. And then at the end of the season, like when I was harvesting the luffa sponges, I basically just shook the seeds all out over the ground because I was like, well, they're not going to grow because they're so picky. Like I had to do all that work to get them to sprout and whatever. And now I've got luffa plants popping up all over the yard from these seeds that I shook out, and I feel like an idiot. But
That's
anyway,
awesome.
that's a funnier note to end on. So if anyone wants luffa
Yeah.
things, let me know. I've got too many.